What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
Eric Ripper is the Leader of the Opposition in Western Australia. He's the Member for Belmont and has served in the WA Parliament for over 20 years. During that time, he's held positions too numerous to mention. He joins me in the studio this morning. Mr. Ripper, welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Thank you for the invitation, Rodney, and good morning to your listeners.
We're very used to seeing you in the political spotlight, but this morning we'd like to find out a little bit more about the man behind the politics. We didn't have the budget to do a This Is Your Life, so you're going to have to help us here. Like so many Western Australians, you were born in Subiaco. What do you remember of the Western Australia that you grew up in?
Well, I grew up in Nyabing, which is a very small country town east of Katanning, a district population of 450. So I grew up on a wheat and sheep farm. And I can remember the newspapers arriving very late. In fact, my parents were quite upset that it took them a couple of days before they heard of President Kennedy's assassination because the radio was broken and they'd collected the newspaper only a couple of days after the event.
We live in a very different world now where everything is happening live either on our television or on the internet. It seems to be going at a fairly rapid rate, doesn't it?
Well, communication has really speeded up, and things which were supposed to be conveniences like mobile phones have actually caused people to work even harder, I think.
I think so. When you were growing up, of course, getting close to Christmas, what was Christmas like in your home?
It was always a time of a great family celebration. The boxes of gifts from the various relatives in the city would arrive and they'd be stored away, and there'd be great excitement when the box from Auntie Ivy or the box from Auntie Elva was opened. Dad had to go through the terrible job for him of killing a chicken. He was for a farmer, he was very, very adverse to taking animal life. So that was always a bit of a trial for him. So I can remember the smell of feathers and boiling water as the chicken was plucked. It was a luxury those days to have a chicken for a meal. Not now.
Yeah. So and the family gathering around the table and eating that lovely Christmas chicken.
Yeah, we had a traditional kitchen with a big kitchen table, and we all gathered around that for the Christmas meal. Before that, in the morning, various neighbours and friends from the district would drop in. Occasionally, Mum and Dad would go to visit other people. So it was always a neighbourly occasion in the morning, followed by a family lunch.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because obviously in small towns, it's very much a sense of community. But even, you know, I grew up in the suburbs, and I remember Christmas morning was all about you'd be given gifts and then straight out into the street to compare with the neighbours and see who's got a new bike running up and down the street. So I guess it was a bit of that.
Well, not so much, because you know, the farm was the nearest farmhouse was probably half a kilometre away. So what you hoped as a young child, I was fascinated with toy aircraft. I'd hope that my mother would give me something aerial, and then I could go out into the paddocks and use the wide open spaces to test out my latest toy plane.
So you never had a yearning to actually do something with that love of aircraft later?
No, I didn't. I was taken very early by studies and by the bug for politics.
Mm. I mean, you were involved in teaching. Was that just something on the way to getting into politics for you, or was that something you thought would be your career?
I have to confess that while teaching is an important occupation, and I highly respect the work the teachers do, I was always looking to get into politics, and it took me a while to find the keys to the door, but eventually I did.
So what was it that gave you that love for politics and for public life, knowing that a lot of the time the population doesn't necessarily respect the work that politicians do on our behalf?
I think I was just really interested in it from a very young age. You know, I devoured the political information, limited as it was, that came into the household. We had a rule in our family that there was absolute silence during the ABC news at 7 o'clock. So we'd sit down to the family meal, and when the news came on, absolute silence. So the news and events in the world were viewed as important by my parents. And then at the time that I was becoming a young man, there were serious political issues in this country that were affecting young men, for example, the Vietnam War and conscription. And it was also the time of the resurgence of the Labor Party under Gough Whitlam. So all of those things drew me into politics in an even bigger way.
An exciting mix. And of course, as I talk to a number of politicians, I find out that the real heart of it is wanting to be able to make a difference for the wider community.
There's a lot of good that can be done in politics. Obviously, there's a lot of good that we can do in our personal lives and helping others as well. But if you want to make big changes that help lots of people, then that's done through government and through involvement in public life. So I'm really convinced that there is an enormous amount of good work that can be done. Good government counts. Bad government does affect the quality of life of people. You only need to look at some of the other parts of the world where there's been a long history of bad government to see what damage that can do to individuals and to the community. So I'm convinced that good government counts, and I want to play my part.
And obviously very appreciative that we live in a place where people are free to choose a government.
It is good that people are free to choose a government. It's also good that we have strong institutions in our community, so that even though we have changes of government, we don't have disastrous governments, for example, like the government of Zimbabwe. We sometimes have mediocre governments, but we don't have governments that are absolutely catastrophic for our community.
Talking back about Christmas, of course, as you grew into a young man and started a family of your own, what was family Christmases like once you had your own family?
For a long time, we had big gatherings of my family, my brothers and my sister and my mother. Fortunately, my children's mother had her family gathering was arranged at the week before Christmas.
So that worked well.
That negotiation was very successful. I remember huge, sort of somewhat chaotic family gatherings, both at lunchtime and also at tea time, sometimes at another household, outdoor cricket. That was a favourite.
It's always good to get together with friends and family over Christmas. It just seems that I'm often intrigued by the fact that around the middle of the afternoon the freeway chokes up like it's peak hour, because everyone does the Christmas lunch with one side of the family, then off to the other side of the family, and so they're in a rush to get there. So you obviously had the right arrangement there.
Well, that wasn't a bad arrangement, Christmas is a time for many people. It's a time of the lead up is a time of negotiation, and hopefully the negotiations go well without too much tension. But a lot of people do have to do quite a bit of juggling in order to meet all of their different obligations, and sometimes that can be not pleasant for people. I appreciate.
Yeah. And leading up to Christmas 2008, how are you planning to spend it? Do you actually get some time off?
I do get time off. I've got a deputy leader of the opposition, Roger Cook, who'll be acting leader of the opposition from Christmas Day until just after the middle of January, and so I will have that time off.
So you're hoping to perhaps get away, or just get away from public life for a little while?
Liliana and I are hoping to get away. We haven't quite settled on where. I'm usually a person who plans a holiday at the last minute, and this year is no different. Too busy to plan a holiday. But it always works out.
And Christmas Day itself, what's your hope for that day?
Well, I hope for a peaceful day with the, reaffirmation of family relationships, the warmth you get from reconnection or reaffirmation of that connection with, my sons and other members of my family.
And what would be your Christmas message to the people of Perth?
Well, I hope the people of Western Australia have a happy and holy Christmas. I hope it's an occasion when people can renew the strength of their family bonds, can renew old friendships. I hope it's an occasion when people can reconcile with people that there might have been a breach with in the past. I also appreciate that for some people, Christmas can remind them of sad events during the year, that the loss or the loss of friendships or the loss of family members. And for those people, I hope that they're able to find a solace with the connections that they can make. And please do take advantage of the services that are available if you're one of those people that feels loneliness at Christmas.
Mr. Ripper, it's been a delight to have a chat with you this morning to get to know a little bit of the man behind the public face. Thank you for what you do in public life, and thanks for spending some time with us today.
Well, thank you very much.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.